Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us now on the line, we welcome back Anne Hertzberg, who's a legal advisor of NGO Monitor. Anne, good afternoon to you, and thanks once again for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive.
Good afternoon. Great to be here.
No, great to have you on board, Anne, and thank you as always for taking the time to join us on the show at this point in time. So, Anne, okay, as I've outlined now, the Israeli families now are taking on UNRWA over their what they regard complicity in terrorist activities. It's certainly been in the limelight as of recent times. So, Anne, let's begin. Take us through the basics of the lawsuit.
So the actual lawsuit has not been made public yet. It's right now just the news reports. So it'll leave some questions as to what specifically they are going to be alleging, as well as who they're going to be suing. Because if they're suing, so there's several potential avenues that you could be suing UNRWA, the agency itself.
Mm-hmm.
You could be suing officials from UNRWA. Or you could also sue organizations like UNRWA USA, which has provided a lot of funding for the organization. And it's a bit tricky if they are suing UNRWA because you have the issue of UN immunity.
Okay.
So it will be very interesting to see how they argue around that. I think for me, that's going to be the biggest question to see in the case.
So, Anne, has this, I was actually going to ask, why has it taken so long? So I take it it's all these factors which are coming into play.
Yes, exactly. That's what makes it quite complicated. There have been two cases, I believe, filed in the United States to date.
Okay.
Those have been against UNRWA USA. So they are going after the charitable arm because that arm does not have immunity, and it will be easier to get around these types of issues.
Okay.
But
Carry on.
Yeah, and then and then the other issue is if we're dealing with UN officials. Now, of course, there's no immunity for international crimes, such as crimes against humanity or genocide.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly, individual officials could be sued. So again, the issue really is how they will go against the agency itself. And I think the best way to proceed will probably be against individuals.
And speaking of this UNRWA agency, did I understand that rightly, in the United States, this has been channeling billions, apparently, towards UNRWA in the past?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a very easy way for them to avoid scrutiny and accountability because it's coming from ostensibly a private charity set up under the charitable laws in the United States, as opposed to getting government funding where there would be a lot more oversight and scrutiny of what's happening with the money that's being donated.
Sure.
So it's quite deliberate that a lot of the money is coming from this charitable arm.
And let's just look at the case itself, what the complaint is as it stands at the moment. I know you said it's early days, but now the plaintiffs are arguing, I'm reading this article from I-24, they're arguing that UNRWA knowingly provided material support to Hamas, including access to UNRWA facilities for military purposes and using schools to indoctrinate children into a culture of violence. Just looking at that short paragraph on the basis of its strength, what do you think are the chances of accomplishing anything out of it?
I mean, I think the most important thing about these lawsuits are to get publicity and PR for what has been going on within UNRWA, how that organization has been corrupted.
Right.
The other important thing is in the United States, there's very strong laws known as discovery when you're involved in a lawsuit. And it is a very good way to get information. So whereas information might be hidden, otherwise, when you're in the discovery process, the defendant must comply and give the requested documents. So it is a very powerful tool to find out organizationally how UNRWA is structured, how their money flows take place, who has been involved in influencing the policies of UNRWA, and other types of documentation that otherwise would not be available to the public. So it's very important from that perspective. And even if the lawsuit doesn't succeed, it can be a very good point to leverage, let's say within Congress, to have investigations or in other countries to have oversight and investigations and ultimately reform or hopefully disbandment of this agency.
Okay. And do you think, how long do you think now, I know it's speculative and you've just said now that these are early days, how long do you think that this could possibly take now?
So I am sure what will happen is when the lawsuit, I don't know if it's already been filed and it just hasn't been made public, it's a little unclear. I'd imagine what will happen first is, depending on who is sued, they will try to get the case dismissed without any review on the basis of UN immunity. So I'm sure that's going to be the first line of attack by the defendants.
Mm-hmm.
We will have to see if they can get past that hurdle. These types of cases can take many months, if not years.
Sure.
But if they can get past the initial hurdle, it's then you go into the discovery phase. And through that, I imagine we'll start to get at least information from the case, even if there isn't an outcome. But sure. I suspect if it's going to go to trial, that could take several years, actually.
Oh, boy. And very quickly, I know you did outline, you know, what direction this lawsuit could take in terms of progressing from one legal platform to another. But very quickly, this case was filed in the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York. They can take it to a higher level, can't they? A higher platform.
Yes, they can. So if they lose in the district court, they can then go to the Court of Appeals. And then if that case fails, they can then take it to the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. So there are several levels of review where they can try to keep the case alive. And also they may have state claims. That's also possible, depending on who the defendants are going to be.
Sure.
So they do have several avenues to pursue this. And there may be other jurisdictions. New York might be the first jurisdiction, but perhaps there may be other states that have a nexus to the case, the Washington, D.C. federal court, or other states where you may have UNRWA officials residing. So those might also be potential venues.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive to give us your views as to where Israeli families stand right now wanting to sue UNRWA over complicity in terror activities. Anne Hertzberg, legal advisor of NGO Monitor.